Welcome to Own It, the podcast where we talk to real estate thought leaders about embracing your strengths, taking your career to new heights, and owning your future. I'm Hillary Saunders, co-founder and chief broker officer at Side, and I'm joined by my extraordinary co-host, Mr. Spencer Kroll. Hi, Spencer. How are you?
Now that I'm extraordinary. I don't know. I guess that's a thank you for that. I think you're extraordinary, too. So we are extraordinaires, I guess we
could say. Excellent. So I have a question for you, Spencer. Mm-hmm. Do you like coffee?
I love coffee.
Do you like wine?
Love wine.
Do you like puppies?
I do love puppies.
And do you like South Florida?
I love South Florida. Are you sending me somewhere? Is this a gift basket I'm getting?
Well, it's a gift basket in the form of a podcast because our next guest, Mr. Paul Ringon of Ringon Homes, is all of those things. He embodies all of those things and he utilizes all of those things to his advantage and building his community. And he's just an all around good human.
Let's meet him.
Welcome to Own It, Paul. This is one podcast guest that I am so excited to get to chat with you because we got to spend some time together recently out in Miami and I had an amazing time.
I got you 2 days in a row, I think it was. Yeah, Miami. And then you stopped by our digs to check it out and I ate too much.
No, I think I ate too much too, but the food was delicious. It was awesome. Spencer, next time, you know, you're on the East Coast, you should just pop down to Miami. Paul's got a really cool space down there and has done some amazing stuff marketing, which we'll get into in a little bit. But since the show is about Paul, not about us, let's hear you. Tell us your story. How did you get into real estate? Because real estate was not your straight out of school, this is going to be my dream job situation, was it?
Yeah, definitely not. Straight out of school had nothing to do with what I went to school for. I think I've owned this at this point, but I think I went to college and I didn't go to university, if that makes sense. I went to college, I didn't go to school. Coming out of college, I actually had to move home to take care of my dad for about a year or so because he wasn't in good health. And my brother and I actually switched places. So I found myself kind of living at home and figuring out what to do work-wise. And I fell into a local magazine publisher because I had a background in graphic design pretty much since high school, all the way through college. And that didn't go too well. Really mean bosses definitely taught me how not to treat people and how to treat those that you work with and those that work for you. So there was definitely a lesson to be had that I would take into my current career now. But after that failed, I was like, all right, I can do this better. I'm going to go off and start my own creative agency. So that lasted about 6 years, grew it into a six-figure business for myself. I think the first year I made like $17,000, like straight out of college. And I'm like, wow, is this going to be something? And it was made into something. And I had clients up and down Florida, a couple in New York and California, but I got burnt out really easily, which led to more lessons. Like, don't work till 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. It's not good for your mental health, not good for your physical health. And
not good for your digestion either.
No, just a really horrible way of living. And I got burnt out creatively and I saw one of my friends that had pivoted to real estate. And I was like, you know, obviously not naming names, but I was like, if that person can do it, I can do it. And I figured, all right, I'll get my license too. And once I'm in it, I'll decide which of the two careers survives. And 6 months into practicing real estate, really getting mentorship and learning the ropes, I decided to go full in into real estate because I just wouldn't have to deal with the same creative blocks and creative like exhaustion that I was dealing with. And instead, I could deal with other people's problems instead. So that's really how I got in. It wasn't really an active decision where I saw this trajectory for myself. It was kind of a career change and a moment where I was kind of done with one thing and wanted to move forward with another.
Yeah, I'm curious about one thing. It's a lot to unpack in that. And I like that you said that the first thing is that you were taking care of other people's problems, right? Instead of your own. But there, you know, solving those problems are your problems, right? That becomes the daily. Do you like puzzles generally? Like, do you like kind of, being in the middle of trying to unravel stuff?
I do. And I feel like there's a couple different answers to that. Well, I do the Wordle, the New York Times Wordle every morning. So yes, I do like puzzles. If I happen to be awake at midnight, I like will wait for the seconds to tick down and hop on that puzzle and I'll do the spelling bee. So yes, I do like puzzles. And I also love problem solving where it gets to a happy end for everyone that's involved. Putting out fires obviously is a huge part of my job. And really that is just one big puzzle. It's like, how do we fit all these complicated things together and end up with a result that we're all good with?
Yeah. And when you set expectations too, right? Like in a creative agency, you must have had many a time where your client, I mean, that's subjective, right? Yeah. All of that, what's beautiful, what looks great, what really is my vision, and trying to understand your clients must translate really well to being a listing agent or a buyer's agent, because you can sit there and really ask the right questions to understand what those clients' real goals are and how you can help them.
It's kind of knowing where they want to end up and figuring how, sometimes it's helping the client navigate their own wants and needs, because with design, they wanted a certain outcome, but they as non-designers had a lot of input that was really a hindrance to getting to that goal. And buyers and sellers are really the same way. I found even in discussions with people outside of in other industries, that it's kind of a lot of the same, just different niches. But with real estate, there, I'd say a lot of people tend to think they might know better when they don't, and they're causing issues that are holding everyone back from achieving that goal. So yeah, there's a lot of navigating around that. And sometimes using the right, I'm a sucker for a really good illustration, and just kind of taking it out of our own personal situation and reframing it, whether that's a story or something that happened with somebody else, for them to really grasp that idea so that we can then move forward.
You said that after having some mentorship, you know, so you were mentored. I really want to talk about that, because leaders help others. And I want to hear about how you picked your mentor.
So my mentor essentially was a mentor of another friend. And for me, I didn't really know where to go. So it's like, let me just go where my friend went and then by default get mentored as well. And there are a lot of bits and pieces that I reiterate to my agents and remind myself of, and even other people in passing conversation, that have stuck with me from that mentorship. And I don't even know if what I would call a mentor, I don't think he realized he was mentoring me. It wasn't a signed agreement with, hey, I'm your mentee, you're my mentor, let's roll with this. It was more so following by example is how I viewed that. And I regard that relationship as a mentorship.
You know, having learned the business that way, and how have you, let's pivot into starting your own company, Ring On Homes. You mentioned burnout, right? Working till 4 a.m. I think there's a lot of correlation between potential burnout when you start your own business. You saw that when you created your agency. Why did you go and then create Ring On Homes when you had already created one, burnt out, go do something else? What's different about this one?
I think I've always been an against the grain type of person and don't like to blend in, prefer to stand out. And these opportunities crossed where I needed to make a change. And obviously Side came along, and it's kind of one of those things where I didn't know I wanted it till I saw it. And to open up my own brokerage and my own company was something that I thought might happen 4 or 5 years down the line. At that time, not within 6 to 12 months. So I think it was a meeting of, it was convergence of a lot of things. It was a need that needed to be satisfied. It was just my own personality and what a vision for what I had, and just the tools and networking and relationships that came with Side as well. So it was just one perfect, beautiful mess, I think, that happened at the right time in my life.
Yeah.
And as far as burnout, yeah, I mean, I've definitely gone through burnout over the past year and a half or so, a couple times, but it's kind of what I've learned people are doing when you have to get through that. So the burnout for me didn't happen at the beginning of the creative agency. It happened at the end because of a lot of boundaries that weren't set. So coming into this, it was like, I'm burning out because you're building something here and you need to kind of get through these one-time things to then move on to the growth.
Sounds like you were tired more so than being burned out, maybe. Like just kind of just like done with this phase. Let's get to the next.
You're right. I think that's a more accurate description of it. Just a lot of tired.
Yeah, because if you're burned out, it's like, well, we enjoyed working with Paul and now he's, you know, started another company. What do you do to avoid burnout?
What I do, I like to go out on the boat, and that's one of my favorite places to be when I just need some calm or some relaxation, whether that's with people or just me and the dogs. I like to come out to the Hamptons because it's a different change of pace. You're away from your normal responsibilities and maybe more of the things that you have in your everyday life, and you get to focus and really boil everything down into what you need to get done. And then the rest of it is you time, family time, networking, fun stuff. So I think that those are the things that I like to do. Obviously, just even traveling with my husband, that we like to try to schedule times to get away. And I shoot for every quarter, at least whether it's a weekend or a week away, just kind of pedal to the metal, knowing that there's a time of relaxation worked in there.
Yeah. I think that's key too, in a lot of things. At least I've found that in my life too. As long as it's on the calendar and I know that it's coming, that relaxation or that whatever me time is coming, then it's like, okay, I can drive 100 miles an hour towards this goal and work, you know, burn the candle at both ends because I know the end is there.
Yeah. Oh, massages and pedicures. Those are also.
Yes.
Yeah. Really great things. Just like stealing 45 minutes, like randomly to decompress.
Yeah. I had a facial once. I remember I'd never had one before.
Only like, oh, once? Now Spencer, well, they're no, the best.
I'm afraid I'm going to get addicted. You know, that's the problem, you know? You get one, it's like suddenly, yeah, I think I'll take the rest of the day off. Yeah. But you know what? Hint, hint. Christmas is, you know, when that comes around.
Thanks. Okay.
Hillary, just Spencer gets a facial. So it got someone here for you. You are creative. You talk about how you ran the creative thing. So it's two questions. One of them is about delegation. The other one is, are you still kind of in creative? Do you still consider yourself creative and are you still in control that way?
Delegation, that sure is an operative word. I am someone who's learning to delegate. I'm also a control freak. So delegation and control freak do not go hand in hand very well. And in getting coaching, I currently have a coach as well. And I'm in my second year with him. And with that, it's helped me delegate responsibilities that I would take on myself. And there are things that I currently am taking on myself because of that control freak in me, like all the marketing that goes out from our company has been designed by and gotten a stamp of approval from me. And just even working to get that into our system so that agents have access to those things is really important, because right now, if someone needs something, it comes to me. And then if I leave them to their own vices, I'm like, ooh, that's not cute. We need to like take that down and swap that out real quick. Let me stop what I'm doing and address this. And that's just not a good way to operate. So yes, I'm working on delegating, finding the right people that could take on those different tasks and responsibilities. But when it was me, it was essentially a one-man show with some side helpers running around. And that wasn't good either.
you still doing design at all? Like, you know, there's a big part of the marketing.
Oh, you should see. You should see the shirts that he designs. They're amazing.
Those are awesome.
All right. So wait. I'm sorry. I apologize. You were invited to Florida. You got to hang out and have meals and you got a shirt.
Yeah, well,
I'm done.
I know.
Goodbye, guys. I'm done.
Listen, I will be sure to bring a care package to the next side-by-side and
all right.
Have it marked Spencer only.
Okay. You're on tape now. So
no, but this is a great line of questioning because your creative juices, there's a clear outlet because your marketing is really fun and engaging and really has a sense of community to it. And I know community is really important to you. Can you tell us a little bit about how you engage the local community around Ring On Homes and you still utilize your creativity?
Sure. I would say that we are very community focused and it's a work in progress overall. And we're trying to create these different relationships that are mutually beneficial because I don't like going into things with an ulterior motive. I want to make sure we're giving something and getting something and vice versa. So a few of the things that we do to be involved with the community are, if I could just run through, I guess, a bullet list of a couple events. One is our free coffee Sunday. And we've partnered with a local coffee shop who happens to be owned by a good friend of ours. And Wells Coffee is our partner, and they have two locations within a couple miles of our office. So it works out really well. And the way that works is we buy coffee for people for 3 to 4 hours. They get coffee, tea, a bite, anything. And we have these people fill out a very simple form where we get their data. They tell us if they're a renter, a buyer, or looking to sell. They also tell us if they've been to this coffee shop before or if they came for our event specifically. So that way we can track who we're bringing and exposing this coffee shop to, and they get the benefit of knowing that we're not just there like siphoning data off of their current customers. And we're also there as a resource. We're there to say, hey, we're a local business that supports other local businesses. Can we buy you coffee today? It's not even like, hey, we're real estate agents. Don't go in there till we get your data. Like it's a very low key way of being available to the community. And since we started this with this one partner, we're running into the same people and people are choosing to engage with us and ask us questions and use us as a resource. We've also done this with one of the local flea markets that we're going to start sponsoring that they have every other month. We're getting in with one of the local wine shops and we're toying around with this idea of having a little plastic tag, like your gym tag, and having people carry it on the keychain and using it to spark business, especially during the summer when it's really slow. So it's like, hey, bring in your yellow tag to Wells Coffee this weekend. You'll get $2 off of anything in the shop.
Coffee and wine. Yeah. Now I'm addicted, so I'm down there. You are my agent down in Florida. I'm sorry.
I've got free coffee. Mixing uppers and downers. It's all good.
I'm not going to go there, but I think that's great. Yeah, wait, so this is cool. Where did you get? Did you come up with these ideas? Are these things you adapted from other people?
As far as I know, we came up with the idea. I own the domain Free Coffee Sunday, so I guess no one else.
That wasn't taken.
No, it was available. It is owned by us, and I put the little trademark symbol on it.
That's great.
And even the forms that we use are kind of interactive. They're not just like the stale, boring form where it feels like they're just filling out a random survey.
One of the beauties about, you know, you, Paul, is that you are so willing to share your successes, your failures, so your team can learn from them and grow from them. What are some instances where you've just failed forward? You know, you learn from your mistakes. You seem to own it very candidly. And yeah. how do you take those failures and then flip it into, okay, let's do something different?
I think one of my general failures and something that I try to not let happen over and over again is having too many ideas and not executing them well. And I guess a way of failing forward in that would be with the coffee event, for example. it's once a quarter. With the flea market thing, it's once every other month. And each time we're not reinventing the wheel, we're just taking the event, seeing what we could slightly improve from there, and doing it better in the next version and so forth. Whereas before, it'd be like a one-off thing. Like, we took all our clients to the movies when that horrible rendition of The Lion King came out. And in that, I thought it was, this is so cool. We're renting an amazing movie theater. Everyone gets lunch. We have really cool marketing going along with it. But you're at an event where you can't talk to anybody because you're sitting there watching a movie. And I was like, wait, this was really dumb. I just brought everyone to a place where they leave within 10 to 15 minutes after the movie is over, and we didn't have any meaningful conversation. One of the things that I tried to do before was a series of client appreciation events. So we took our clients to a Florida Panthers hockey game when they weren't as good as they are now. And everyone got to do a slap shot on the ice. We've done really cool things with our clients, but they've been these one-off things and there hasn't been consistency to it. So I think the impact isn't as good when it doesn't happen continuously. Obviously, that goes along any marketing or event standards. So with us, we now have owned Bounce, which is our client appreciation event, as summer turns into fall. And we've got the concept around that. We know how it happens. And a lot of these things are kind of starting from scratch, per se, coming out of COVID. So the last time we had that was like 3 months before lockdown happened, when we were all comfortable with rolling around in like other people's filth at the trampoline factory. Mm-hmm. And so that's...
I can just feel the germs.
So I'm just like, we're not going to do that again, but we turned it into this thing where we have a ton of inflatables and slides and create a backyard barbecue where there aren't other people around that aren't our clients. And we can really have this nice controlled environment and space. And it really is like you live and you learn and you figure out what works and what doesn't. But I'm really trying to get away from reinventing the wheel every single time.
You find you get a lot of referral business from those as well?
So from the client events,
yep.
Yes, I think we've gotten a handful. I can speak for my clients specifically, because that becomes a natural way to just bring up certain things and have, because I never lead with real estate. It always, I let it come back to me because they're going to then ask about myself. And that's kind of how I coach my agents as well. You know, let people talk about themselves because they'll want to do it. And then you can get into real estate because they're going to ask about you. From the coffee events, yes, we track those. Everything goes right up into our CRM follow-up boss. Everyone that we track who each person talks to, so they get added as a collaborator. And from the very first one earlier this year, one of my agents is searching for $1.5 million home with someone. So there is definitely a benefit to spending 3 hours per quarter giving out free coffee. And that's just one of the connections out of many that were made.
And mental health is super important to you, and making sure that your team is supported and can, you know, have an outlet. So one of the things that really impressed me when we were talking in Miami was that you also offer access to therapists to your teammates.
Yes. I think anyone that's been in a leadership position or is the boss or whatnot, you are the human complaint box. So, and suggestion box, and where everything gets filed to. And at this launching of Ring on Homes, my colleague was also launching her own therapy practice. And I thought, how cool would it be if agents had access to free therapy? And we kind of worked this thing out where we've kind of termed it mini sessions every other month, where you can hear the slots that are available. You can go and speak with a licensed mental health counselor, whether you're in a good place, a bad place, a medium place, just to offload, where you're getting good counseling and it's not coming from someone who you're regarding as your boss or your team leader or whatnot. It's completely separate from that. And we've had really positive feedback. It even sparked one of my agents to go and like seek a therapist every single week and have that in his schedule so that he could, because it felt that good.
Yeah. Well, it's much better than when I offload stuff to Spencer and his facial expressions just give me all the feedback.
You know,
negative or positive.
I'm keeping a tally here. So if coffee, wine, t-shirts, and therapy, I think this is, this is fantastic.
It's an amazing company. I'm telling you, these ideas are just mind blowing.
They're fantastic. Do you ever offer, I mean this sincerely, do you ever offer therapy to your clients as well? Because this is stressful.
I do not. I am their therapist.
Yeah.
No, but that I think of it, that sounds like a great way to
a home warranty or a closing gift.
Yeah.
If you would like, here's access to someone to, you know, this was maybe a stressful process or hopefully that not is, because you dealt with it.
That is duly noted. And I think that's a great way, again, supporting a local business. And then also maybe opening the door for someone that never thought that therapy was for them or that they couldn't afford it or, you know, whatever.
It takes the stigma off of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I'm curious when you do or if you do implement that, because like I would just say, listen, you're effing nuts. You need a therapist, right? So I think you probably would peddle it a little bit differently. When I was an agent, I used to, and this is back before Clear Cooperation, so I used to have a bunch of pocket listings, and I used to share. So one of the things I see that you're building, you know, obviously this client base, are you building a local agent base as well with other agents? Because I used to share my pocket listings. I would call certain agents and say, hey, I want to let you know about this ahead of time, so in case you have a buyer, and that got me so much goodwill. I'm just curious if you're doing anything like that as well among agents in your area. Not pocket listings. You are not violating Clear Cooperation. I want to make that very clear in case any NAR is listening.
Do I have a separate database of, hey, these are the people I'm going to reach out to specifically, and they're all tagged appropriately? No, but that sounds like a really great thing that I should be doing. However, if I do have something that's coming or the seller doesn't want to go on to market with it, but still wants some semblance of representation or some guidance there, yes, I will seek the people that I know work certain areas. And I've done that a couple times this year. Or, hey, I have someone here that wants to sell this house and you've sold a few homes in here. Do you have anyone?
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. Just not very systematically.
Let's talk about building Ring On Homes. What was your kind of vision for Ring On Homes? And as far as like the team, did you want to build a mega team, a very stealth team? And what's your experience been with adding team members?
So I will try to not make this long-winded.
You have all the time in the world, my friend.
So for the vision, I feel like that has, there was an overarching one and it's been fine-tuned and continues to be fine-tuned as the journey goes along. So I knew that I didn't want to just have a ton of agents for the sake of having a ton of agents. I wanted really good people that the bare minimum is that I want to have a drink with you and I can have a drink with you inside and outside of work. Because if I don't want to hang out with you as a person when we're not talking about work, I don't know if I want to bring you into this ecosystem and have you around and disrupt the juju, if you will. Because we've all got to be able to hang out with each other. I think that even with side by side, like you see varying degrees of like closeness with agents. Some like really roll around as like this tight knit family. And for us at our last one, we were definitely all eating like Jack in the Box at 1 a.m. in the morning around our coffee table in our pajamas. Not saying that's how it needs to be, but I was okay with that and okay with like removing that boundary within the confines of this event. So as far as what I'd like to be, I would like us to grow into a very nice, tight-knit 30, 35, 40 agents that are just really well involved in the community. And my coach put it as this: do you want 600 cats that you have to herd, or do you want 30 soldiers? I want the 30 soldiers.
I mean, nothing against cats, but yeah, that's too many. I know you're splitting your time between Florida and New York, which is amazing. How are you building, or what are you trying to build as far as connection goes community-wise between Florida and New York, and how do you see that working?
So I think anyone that lives in New York or lives in South Florida knows that there's this kind of zip line between the two. We have a lot of recovering New Yorkers that live in Florida, and it mostly seems like it goes in that direction, or they bounce back between the two even before this migration happened. So we really use our time here to just develop relationships with professionals, people, potential clients up here, and even just with connections we've made last year, those have or are leading to real estate transactions down there.
But you're also getting your license, right?
I am on the second round of taking classes because I let that expire and got really busy and tired with a lot of things going on with us launching Ring On Homes last year. So I am about halfway through the course again this year. So fingers crossed that I'll have it done before summer. And again, that goes back to just being a little bit more organized. But yes, I will have my license.
Yeah, I'm working on New York as well, because I also spend a lot of time. I'm in the city, so I'm working on New York also.
But Spencer, are you a recovering New Yorker?
You know what? I'm not recovering at all. I am full on a New Yorker still. I love it. Get me a Sobread hot dog on a humid day and I'm a happy guy. I got a question for you. It seems like real estate has really transformed you in a sense. I mean, that's the idea I get. How has working in real estate changed you, or at least, I guess, kind of changed the relationships you have work-wise with the agent?
I don't think I really ever saw myself as a mentor or coach at the beginning, and now I do. I think it's really important because, like, all the top players out there have coaches. They're not just out there going it alone. I have a coach. Agents that I know that do billions of dollars worth of real estate have a coach. And what makes you think that you can go it alone and get further without one? So I have essentially made it mandatory to be coached. And in that same regard, it helps me as well, because I feel like I gain value and insight by coaching and mentoring agents that I work with as well. And I don't think it matters, even outside the brokerage, when you're having these relationships with agents that may do more business than you or less business than you. I think there are things that can be unlocked that you wouldn't find out yourself and without a mentor or without a coach.
Do you think that having a coach kind of helps remove the need to wear two hats? Meaning, like, when you lead a team, typically you have to inspire, you have to teach, but you also have to hold people accountable. Does having a coach involved help take a piece of that off your plate so you don't have to be both, you know, the person in the back, you know, whipping people along, like, got to do your calls, got to do your door knocking or whatever?
So I there are times that I am that person and I tend to lead with a carrot and not with a stick. But now I'm just in learning from other brokerages and colleagues. I'm like, I could have a little twig in the background. As far as having my coach involved, because they know that I get coached as well, sometimes it becomes this strangers on a train mentality where it's like, I'm not saying it, my coach is, so you're going to take this with a lot more gravitas than it coming from me. So yes, I think that helps as well, because they're really coming from this, like, hey, I've been there. I've got 600 agents. I've been doing this for decades. Whereas me, myself, and I have just started this less than 2 years ago. And I think that really helps drive the point home.
What do you do when you plateau? I mean, if you set a goal or something like that, how do you get yourself to move on?
Oh, man, that is a good question, Spencer. And I feel like everyone's plateaued at some point in their careers. And sometimes it's a plateau of a month. Sometimes it's a string of many months. I feel like I plateaued myself last year, and just being candid. But I think a lot of that had to do with me focusing a lot of energy on my agents and literally putting walls up and running electrical things and doing a lot of juggling a lot of things that for myself made me doubt myself a lot. I'm like, oh my God, I'm having like the worst year ever. And everyone else that's working with me is having their best year ever. So even though I know that I was preoccupied with a lot of things, for me, that was a plateau in my production. And it left a little, an open window of self-doubt in there. And therapy helped with that. Coaching helped with that, because it really brought me back to, you've done this before many, many times. There isn't anything stopping you from doing it again. And then with coaching, it was like, refocus on the very most simple things and keep pushing along, because it's a compound effect. So I think those things helped. And then also seeing the fruits of that labor and investing time and energy into other agents and being like, wow, they've had their best year ever in their career, helped push me through that and maybe like pulled me out of that a little bit.
It's almost like you have to own the conscious choice to invest the time in setting the foundation, creating a company to, in theory, the detriment of your own production.
Yeah.
But it's building the amazing community that is Ring On Homes that will last you over the longer time.
I tell my husband this all the time, like as he's planning out his day or when he needs to get ready for things. I was like, you always think you have more time than you do, and then we're rushing out the door. I think that I always have more time to accomplish the many tasks and the different hats that I wear when I don't. So that's where a lot of that delegation and trying to find the right people, and then even just time blocking and really focusing, doing like really high level focus on what needs to get done, has helped, because just winging it is a horrible way to do things. And, you know, I'll catch myself doing that once in a while, but really falling back on a set schedule really helps.
So, the time blocking and stuff, you've got so much that you've done in the past year in terms of building a team and stuff like that. Curious, what are the goals going forward?
The goals going forward are to hit 100 million in production with the company. And the goals between now and the end of the year are to add another 5 or 6 more solid agents to the team. And the way, and I use team loosely in that we're all individual agents that work together as a team. There isn't just a person that comes up, hangs their coat, and just does their own thing off to the side. We all support each other. We're all there for each other. But this isn't the Paul team at Ring On Home. This is everyone for themselves, of course, unless someone's bringing on their own team within the brokerage. Goals are also to just be more consistent with everything, to really become proficient in all the tools that we have. Because in that first year that we existed as Ring On Homes, I literally didn't want to bring anyone into the mess. We wanted to really iron out all the things, know how to use Follow Boss, know how to use all our tools, know how to just do everything and get everything down pat. And that's still a work in progress, but we're in a lot better place than we were last year. And to that point, sometimes you just got to stop and look back at everything that you've accomplished. Because when you're in the middle of all the mess of it, you're just like, and it's happened a couple of times where I've been like, well, what did I get myself into? Why am I doing this? And someone told me this a long time ago in college. If you don't at least stop and question it once or twice, maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all. And the fact that you want to keep pushing through and doing it, I think is is a good thing. It's a good thing to question yourself once in a while. Just don't get stuck there.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I have no doubt at all that you will accomplish any goal that you set your mind to. It's very clear that you, sorry for the pun, but take the bull by the horns and just go, right? You are very confident in yourself. Before we wrap up, Paul, do you have any books or podcasts or things that you go to for inspiration or anything that we can share with our friends who are listening?
So I try to work through a new book or reread a book every other month or so. Atomic Habits has been great. I feel like everyone mentions that. Re-listening to it on Audible. I always have the physical book as well as the Audible because I can get through it a lot faster, but then I could make notes in the book, make notes in the bookmarks within the app. Also like selling, Ninja Selling has been great. One of my agents is also working through that as well. I think there's a lot of tips and tricks through there. This really doesn't have any, it's more inspirational, but I read Shoe Dog a few years ago. I've read a few other agents' books that they put out, podcasts. I'm working my way through My First Million right now, and I really enjoy the podcast. It's just like a really simple chat versus someone like yelling at you or saying do it this way because it's the right way. So those are the things I tend to gravitate towards. Not really a fiction fan.
That's so funny. It's so funny how there, I feel like just there is a separation, if you will. My husband is very tactical and likes tactical books. And I am way more into fiction and I love stories. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like inspirational books, but for me, it's just like, I get lost in that story of people. But Paul, you are amazing. And I'm so sorry that, you know, we set Spencer up to like be begging for t-shirts and stuff, but don't worry.
All good.
we'll take care of him. It's fine. But you are an inspiration and I love what you're doing with Ring On Homes, and your community involvement is just something that we can all strive for. So thank you very much for being our guest today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And it's really nice because sometimes you feel like you're just doing things and you don't know if anyone's paying attention. So something like this is very reaffirming and I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Everything he's doing. I loved talking to him about that. And you know, I want to give you my two takeaways before I get to your takeaways, but the two that I have. The first one is he has an amazing grasp of just how to work with a community, right? All the stuff that he's doing with the coffee and the bounce house. And he doesn't spam them, right? He's building a community. And we've got to talk with him before the podcast. And he just sticks, this is about building the community. It's not about putting him on a drip campaign or anything. And it's paid off for him. That's the first thing. And the second thing that I took away from him is coffee, wine, t-shirts, therapy, and Jack in the Box. So.
Right. You've got a laundry list. I think you guys will get together next time you're either in Miami or up in New York. Oh, yeah. But the cool thing about Paul and many, many other top of the game realtors, producers, is that they are more than happy to share because they have this abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. And I think that makes a world of difference in real estate and anything in life in general, you know?
Yeah, that's a big thing in terms of looking at abundance instead of scarcity. And when he is talking about building his team and building his business and everything like that, it doesn't seem desperate. Does that make sense? Like I got a very relaxed sense from him of it's going to happen if you do this stuff.
100%. And I think maybe therapy has something to do with it, the confidence in yourself, or we'll just do a plug for mental health in general. If you need a therapist, please go seek one out. They're amazing. Even a shoulder, just to offload some stuff that, you know, is just boiling up inside. But Spencer, you, as always, are a blast to have on as my co-host, and Paul was awesome. So thank you again, Mr. Paul Ringon and Ringon Homes down in Miami. Join us next time on Own It. And if you have any questions for Paul or us, we are happy to forward them on. Please email us at ownit@sci.com. Thank you very much for joining us.